Hi guys, welcome to the Pet Quarter, the pet nutrition podcast that helps you feed your pet better. On each episode, we answer your questions from allergies, dog food brands, and everything in between. Please submit your questions at info@thepetquarter.co.uk with the subject podcast. We have the best community in the world. Thanks for listening. Question number one, and this is from Ed from YouTube. Thank you so much for the question. I made a video on feeding bones to dogs and how often, whether dogs need bones, whether bones are part of the dog's diet, which they are. They should comprise about 10% roughly of your dog's diet, and they are very, very beneficial. They satisfy the need to chew. They are one of the six animal freedoms, which is the freedom to chew and the freedom to express themselves. And also they are a wonderful, wonderful tool for your dog's dental health. Anytime your dog is chewing on something, anytime your dog is using those canaceal teeth, anytime your dog is using those chomping abilities of theirs, it's a wonderful opportunity for your dog's tartar to go away and for your dog's dental health to improve. So providing you do it in a safe way, providing you do it in a responsible way, feeding bones is a wonderful thing for your dog. Nevertheless, Ed asks, you mean uncooked, non-bearing meaty bones or ground bone into powder? This is a wonderful question, actually, because if you are feeding any kibble on the market that is worth any sort of salt, they will include carcass and they will powder that carcass or any bone in order for the food to be complete, because roughly speaking, your dog's whole prey ratios or your dog's diet should comprise of 70 to 80% lean meat, 10% offal, of which 5% is liver and 10% is bone. And these percentages are obviously, they tend to be a bit disparate, so they're not exact. They are give or take sort of percentages. So anytime you feed a kibble, that kibble is naturally going to add, that's going to contain some sort of bone. But that bone is obviously grounded into powder, as Ed says. I was talking about raw meaty bones in terms of, yeah, just the bone. You can buy ostrich bones, you can buy different bones, you can buy antlers, you can buy venison legs from your local pet shop, you can buy all sorts of things for your dog's dental health. No, I'm not talking about bone that is powdered and put into kibble. I am talking about additional chews you can give your dog in order for your dog to have that dental health checkup, as it were, on a regular basis. And it's a wonderful thing, you know. It's natural, your dog will love it, your dog will recognize it, and your dog will be entertained. It's good for training, it's good for your dog to keep occupied. It's part of what they are meant to do, it's part of their natural being. You would be hard pressed to find something better than a bone to give a dog, not to be redundant there and not to make a joke. So yes, absolutely. I was on the phone the other day with a lady who was asking if we sold Purina Pro Plan Puppy, and it spurred a couple thoughts that I want to share with you. And the thoughts aren't very good. The thoughts are a bit sad. Let me tell you something. If you have a dog and you don't inform yourself about the dog's training, how to train the dog properly, what to feed the dog, how to feed a dog properly, and if you are literally fumbling about your dog's life, your dog's life is not going to be very enjoyable, and your life as a consequence is not going to be very enjoyable either. And feeding your dog incorrectly has to be one of the most heartbreaking things someone can ever do, because it can only be detrimental to your dog's health and to your pocket in the long run. Let's just have a little look at Purina Pro Plan Puppy. And we have, as first ingredient, premium chicken, 20%, which is wonderful. I love saying that the first ingredient is meat, and they say it's premium chicken, whatever premium chicken is, but it's premium chicken nevertheless. I am not going to disparage it. And then we have back and breast, so 20% including back and breast, which is okay. But then we get into dried poultry protein, which is unspecific. We do not know where that protein comes precisely. They just say poultry. We then go into the wheat, into the soy meal, into animal fat, again, which is unspecific. Rice, 8%. Make sure that next time you are making some sort of risotto or curry, that rice will expand. It will double or treble depending on the grain of the rice you are using. So if manufacturers say it's 8% rice, is a lot more than 8% after you've cooked it, after you've processed it. And then we have corn digest and other corn protein meal, whatever that is. And this is an absolute car crash of ingredients. It's a car crash of ingredients. And I am not sure that these ingredients would be suitable for any dog whatsoever, apart from the 20% premium chicken. Now, it states on the bag of food that this food has 30% protein. It contains 30% protein. Where does that protein come from? Well, we have the 20% premium chicken, but then we have dried poultry protein, and they don't put a percentage right next to it. So they don't tell you, because they don't want you to know, or they just don't want to tell you. They just want to omit that fact altogether. You are the one to judge. And that's where the majority of the protein comes from. It doesn't come from fresh meat. It doesn't come from other animal sources. It comes from poultry protein, dried poultry protein. So I'd rather have my dog consume animal protein than animal fat, than dried poultry protein as protein itself. I don't want to feed my dog wheat. I don't want to feed my dog soy meal. I don't want to feed my dog animal fat or rice or corn or corn protein meal. Corn protein meal. What on earth is corn protein meal? I don't know. And this is one of the biggest companies in the whole wide world when it comes to dog nutrition. This is Purina Pro Plan Puppy. And my conclusion, apart from telling the lady that I would not touch Purina Pro Plan Puppy with a 10-foot barge pole, was that it's very sad whenever we see people ask in our branches for products that aren't the best for dogs. They are not appropriate. They're not biologically appropriate. They don't contain the best ingredients or even marginally any good ingredients whatsoever. And we have always spoken about the two categories of dogs. We have dogs who have wheat, corn, barley, animal fat, rice, soya, sugar. And then we have dogs that have wholesome ingredients that you feed them raw meaty bones and antlers, and everything is natural, and the ingredients in the food are wonderful, and they come from animal proteins. They come from the actual animal, not corn protein meal. And it's frustrating, it's sad, it's very, very sad. And I told this lady that we would not sell anything like this out of principle. We don't sell anything like this, and we could we could make more money, but we have chosen not to. We have chosen to side with you and with your pet, and we will not sell anything that's just not very good. So yeah, that's my opinion on Purina Pro Plan Puppy. Bong hits and love on YouTube. Could you tell me if I have a Jack Russell with tummy problems and the particular brand of dog food he's feeding says it has live bacteria for digestive health? Well, thank you so much for the question. And there's a couple of things that I want to delve into. The first one is probiotics, by definition, have to be alive. It's live bacteria. Live bacteria is live bacteria. It goes off very, very quickly. It doesn't last long on the shelf. So let's take natural yogurt, for example. If you buy something organic, if you buy something pretty good, unless it has a ton of preservatives, unless it has a ton of added chemicals and that sort of thing, it will only last 2, 3, 4 days tops. So that's one thing to consider. For example, here in the UK, if you buy milk, fresh milk, it goes off very, very quickly. It goes off after maybe 3, 4, 5 days at a push. So if a brand of kibble says it has live bacteria for digestive health, unless the kibble hasn't been processed at all, which is impossible because most kibbles are extruded or cooked twice. Even if the extrusion process, or even if they gently dehydrate the kibble, for example, some of the best kibbles are very minimally processed, they are gently dehydrated, and they are able to preserve a lot more of the nutrients. But live bacteria is live bacteria. Even in the best case of the best kibble on the market, that is going to be processed, that's going to not have live bacteria in it. Maybe it had live bacteria when it went into the blender, when it went into the actual recipe, but after it has been processed, even if the kibble is wonderful, I wouldn't bet that kibble has live bacteria for digestive health. So instead, I am going to give you some other stuff you can do to boost that gut. The first thing would be to assess if your dog has any sort of allergies, and you can request a blood allergy test from your vet. They are very costly, between $500 and $1,000, the equivalent. But if you cannot do that, then you must address everything you are giving your dog. So any treats, any food, what proteins, what is specifically the dog getting on a daily basis, cut out any inflammatory stuff, wheat, barley, that sort of thing that you hear me talk about all the time. And then I would introduce maybe a probiotic. You can try natural yogurt, you can try natural psyllium husk, you can try things like chia seeds, you can try insoluble fiber as well. Anything with fur on is like rabbit ears or lamb ears or that sort of thing. That tends to do really, really well. But I don't want you to try all these at once. You can go marshmallow root, you can do slippery elm, you can buy tree bark powder. We stock tree bark powder and it works really well. We can have it as well. It's a natural remedy. But I don't want you to give the dog 55 things at once. I want you to try the dog on different things and touch base on different things with different things. But I would try the dollop of yogurt in your dog's food every day and see if that helps. And that will be live bacteria, because you can actually see that yogurt is expiring in 2, 3, 4 days. But any claims from any kibble that contains live bacteria, when all you get is a dark pellet of dog food, they are very dubious at best. So yeah. And by the way, if you want to contact us, you can do so by going to thepetquarter.co.uk and click on the tab consultation. We will be very happy to assist you and go through the particular problem you are having, whether that's an allergy, what food is best, what to do whenever you buy raw food, whatever you need, we are here to help. www.thepetquarter.co.uk consultation, and all the resources are there. I also wanted to touch on subscription businesses, because we get a lot of people who come to our branches and they buy from subscription businesses. And there's two things that I want to say about subscription businesses. First is, some subscription businesses are absolutely wonderful. They are incredible. You know, they provide a good service, good food, and that's it. They are ethical companies, and that's wonderful. That's something we like to see whenever we look at dog food. But unless you are very meticulous and unless you know precisely how much you are going to be giving your dog, there's always going to be a case or a time where you are short on food and you are going to have to buy something else from the shop. And these costs can add up to your food bill. So if you are paying a premium for a premium service, make sure you don't have to add anything else on top of that. And the second thing is that some of these subscription businesses, and I'm torn between this, because I am all for a free market. But if all these companies just want you to buy from them and not from your local pet shop, or not even go to a pet shop or a shop, full stop, that shop is probably going to close. And there is an argument that if you only buy from subscription services, and you only buy from Amazon, and you only buy from your whatever, and everything is done online, things that you actually like your local pet shop or Pets at Home or whatever, they will close. They will no longer be needed. So that's some food for thought, because sometimes all these companies, all they want you is to buy from them and from them exclusively. And that's okay, I have no problem with that, but that's something to think about, in my opinion. And then I wanted to talk about four cons of raw dog food. As you might or might not know, I am a huge advocate for raw dog food. I think that when done correctly, is a wonderful thing, and your dog can benefit tremendously. Now, is it for everyone? No. Should you do it because I say it, or should you do it because someone else says it? No. It needs to fit your lifestyle. You might be a busy professional. You might not want to handle raw dog food. You might have kids and you have a busy life, and you like to go to the theater on Tuesday, and you don't want to do anything apart from putting down kibble for your dog. That's a valid reason, in my opinion, not to feed raw. So I have no problem whenever people do not feed raw, and you don't need to feed raw. But these are four things that are, in my opinion, drawbacks whenever we talk about raw dog food. The first one is, if you have a fussy dog, and this is something I don't hear many people talk about, if you have a fussy dog, the standard advice is to barter with the dog's daily allowance of food to train them, or if they are being fussy, to barter and to take away the food and then put the food down after 12 hours or the next day. That can be done a lot more simply with kibble or with wet food even. But with raw food goes off very, very quickly, and you can't really do that. You are going to end up wasting money. If you have a fussy dog, you are going to be putting your hard-earned pounds into the bin and throwing it away. And that is not pleasant. So if you have a fussy dog, consider whether raw dog food is the right way for you, because you might not be able to train your dog or to be as strict as you would want to with your dog, because you're gonna be losing out on money, you know. And I hate whenever I have to tell people to do that with a brand of raw food, because I know and I tell them beforehand that they might be wasting food, and that's not something I like seeing. So that's the first thing. The second one is that, especially in the summer, you are going to smell and handle raw dog food, and you have to take every precaution. Now, there's some hysterical people talking about salmonella, talking about cross-contamination, and talking about all sorts of things when it comes to raw dog food. But I am talking to responsible raw feeders. I am talking to adults in the room. I'm not talking about, you know, any Tom, Dick and Harry that does this sort of thing. I am talking about people who are reasonable. I'm not talking to people who are not reasonable. So even to those people who are reasonable, you are going to have to handle raw dog food. And there's more and more people that come into our branches and they say, listen, I'm vegan, or I'm pescatarian, or I don't really agree with meat for myself, but I feed meat to my dog or cat. But maybe raw dog food is a step too far. Fine, no problem at all. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to say if you are vegan, or if you don't want to be dealing with some smells maybe, or handling raw dog food, then don't do it. You don't have to do it. You know, this is a free country and you should not be pressured by anybody whenever it comes to what to feed your dog. The third thing is doing it correctly. And this is something I sometimes side with vets on. Vets will, for lack of a better word, rubbish all over raw food. And we see their side sometimes, because first of all, not many vets will entertain raw dog food, but the ones that do, they want people to do it correctly. They want people to be clued up on it. We see so many people feeding raw food with 40% bone, or just feed the dog one protein, no bone, no liver, no offal, no nothing, just the lean meat. And those create imbalance, huge imbalances. Oh, my dog loves tripe, so I only give my dog tripe, raw tripe. That's awful. Or I feed my dog, I don't know, 5 duck necks a day, and that's way too much bone, for example, proportionally to the dog. And that's not something we like to see. We like to see people who are clued up in it, who do the research, who ask questions, and who do it correctly. So if you are going to do it correctly, then perfect. But if you have any questions, please, please inform yourself. And this is a con that sometimes I do think about whenever I talk to certain people, because they're not doing the right thing, and they are not doing the right thing for the dog, and that's disheartening sometimes. And the last one is the freezer space. If you buy raw dog food, first of all, your electricity bill will likely be higher than right now, than you are currently paying, because you need to keep that freezer going. And the second one is you are going to need maybe an extra chest freezer, or you are going to need to buy more regularly from your raw food supplier. So if you are not prepared to have the extra space to buy and to think about the dog's food more regularly, or to even put more money into your dog's diet, which is at the end what more electricity is, you are just considering and balancing out what your options are, then raw food is not for you. And you can buy wonderful kibbles and they'll do if not the same thing, they'll come very, very close and your dog will be very, very happy. So raw dog food is not for everyone. We don't recommend it for everyone. We don't think this is a church or a cult. You are very welcome to do whatever you like with your dog. And in any case, those are four things that tend to be on the difficult or things to consider side. So yes. Every week, hundreds of dogs walk into our branches with problems we solve. Would you like us to take a look at your dog's diet? Are you tired of going to the vet without making progress? You can actually book a one-to-one consultation by visiting thepetquarter.co.uk and under the tab consultation. Do you want to learn more? Follow our YouTube channel.